3-day win streak. Little bit in the red today. Fed decision tomorrow. Some pretty good earnings, Lily. They just can't make enough of that stuff. Kind of like NVIDIA with the chips. We'll cover Mickey D's, NXPI. Preview the fireworks for tonight. AMD, Amazon, and the big one Dennis is focused on, SMCI. It's Tuesday. It's pre-market prep. We're ready to go.
Welcome to Benzinga's pre-market prep.
This is a volatile puppy here.
It's all about execution styles and strategies.
Good morning, traders and investors. Strong rally last 15 minutes, but boom, hit a wall there at the close. Down five handles, 51.42. The buck up 19 cents, over 105. Looking a little toppy here ahead of the Fed decision. The TLT instead of the 30-year bond for Dennis, that's down 7 cents at 88.91. Doesn't look like a Fed cut is imminent there. Crude up 47 cents, 83.09. Some consolidation after its recent retreat. Gold getting a haircut, down 37 bucks at 37.21. Silver back under 27, down 87 cents at 26.78. Bitcoin just quietly leaking here from the 75K handle, down $1,850 at $61,600. Triple D back in the saddle. And did you have a pillow available last night in the after-hours session?
I'm telling you, I needed it. It was actually one of the slowest sessions we've had in a long time. There was not much happening. NXPI had the queues up a little bit early, and then it started to leak, and MSTR was down. So there was a couple movers, which we can talk about. But overall, market was very sleepy. It's very sleepy today here, too. Remember, we do have Fed Wednesday, so maybe this is a calm before the Fed storm. But you know what's really going to move the market? It's not going to be the Fed. It's going to be the earnings. And it's going to be not the earnings today or yesterday. It's going to be the earnings tonight. Because the big three, Amazon, obviously everybody always watches Amazon, AMD, and then I'm arguing a lot of people are going to be watching the SMCI report, because the SMCI report is going to dictate NVIDIA's next move. And NVIDIA obviously has been driving the bus for this market all year. So if SMCI can blow it away, expect NVIDIA to follow suit here. So everybody watching SMCI to get a cue for what NVIDIA is going to do. And then AMD is the same thing. The AI trade is on stage tonight.
All right, let's get to the earnings. Let's bring in AB. Good morning, AB. How are you doing on this Tuesday?
Good morning, y'all. I am good. And Joel, speaking of pillows, I think your buddy Bob Swirsky might have left a pillow here in the office. So You're going to need to come pick that up for him, because I don't know if he's going to be sleeping well without his pillow.
Was it there yesterday? Because I thought I had some. Did you see it this morning, or you just saw it there yesterday?
Oh, did someone already pick it up? I saw it yesterday.
Yeah, I left my water bottle too. But
what'd you do? You brought a pillow because you anticipated you needed to have a nap. You were working too late, Joel. Is this what goes on?
Over at the office.
Okay, we're not going to go into this.
No, just plan a nice sleepover, sleeping bags.
What about? I mean, Swirsky might be looking a little skinnier now if he's been hopping on that Ozempic. Let's go to Eli Lilly. Who reported this morning. I see someone in the chat saying, how are we not talking about PayPal? We will talk about PayPal. Here's the thing. Eli Lilly is 10 times the size of PayPal. It's a $700 billion market cap. PayPal is about $70 billion. So we're going to start with the bigger company. We're going to start with Eli Lilly.
And the story. I have PayPal like way down the list. Sorry, it's not very high on my list. I know it'll move square a little bit, but it's not that high on my list. Lilly, number one. You're right, AB. This is the stock to talk about. How'd they do?
So Eli Lilly reported EPS of $2.58, beat by 9 cents, revenue of $8.7 billion, missed by $160 million, but the guidance was strong, $13.50 to $14 EPS versus prior guidance of $12.20 to $12.70. So even though they missed on sales by about $160 million, that the strong guidance is setting the stock higher this morning by about 7%, up $50. And I mean, like you said, Dennis, this is the story. I mean, we had Lisa Gusto on a couple weeks ago from Global X ETFs, and she was talking about how this, the story for the weight loss drugs is not over yet. There's all these other indications besides just losing a few pounds that this is helping out with, which is supposed to make it more accessible. Maybe insurance is going to start helping cover it more. But either way, I mean, I don't know what inning we're in or what round of the draft we're in with the Eli Lilly, but it's certainly not the end of the end of the story.
There's two really hot stories in 2024. The hottest, obviously, AI, which we've talked about on this show nonstop for 4 months. Then the other hot story is these weight loss drugs. And Lilly obviously still leading the charge. You know, I've been playing it from Viking Therapeutics, saying that there could be this catch-up trade, even potential for a takeout if the trials in the next round go well. But that's more speculative. You know, they're only second phase, you know, to phase two here. Obviously, Lilly's got the drug they're selling out there. So a lot further along with that. Do your trusty PE calculator here. You can take that 14.
We did that. Yep.
Say 14. They hit the upper end of the range that they just gave at $788, trading 56 times forward earnings. Paying a premium, a significant premium for that. Drug stocks usually trade 24, 25 times earnings. Merck's probably a good comparison here because Merck and Lilly, both pretty, you know, solid companies. Both, you know, this is where the PEs were trading before. I mean, wow, Merck's forward 15, Joel, 15. So, I mean, these weight loss drug stories are awesome, but holy cow, are you paying such a premium for the stock? I haven't been able to stomach that premium. So, you know, and I sold my Lilly back when it started trading over 30 times earnings, and that was like 300 points ago, 400 points ago. So, you know, I didn't anticipate it was years ago. So, you know, we didn't have the weight loss drugs even on the table at that time. So, awesome story. Earnings were fantastic. Company's firing on all cylinders, but you were paying a premium for that. And that scares me a bit.
The technicals are pretty simple. I got a million to go at 800. Okay. If you want to lift me, you can lift me. But you hit 800.78 right on the kisser. That's the all-time high, March 4th high. Pre-market trading, they said, we're not letting this get through 800. Stopped right there. Man, oh, man, you're going to have a fun open here, Dennis, because I think you either should go, like, very low, you know, and see if I know there's not a lot of a book, but it still trades a decent amount of volume. There could be some sellers all the way up from what is settled at 738 up to 800. So either there's enough, you know, supply out there to keep it, you know, lower, maybe get a 760 open. I'm just exaggerating here. And then you get a pop, or else you just open up it like, boom, like right at 800. And then, you know, I couldn't see going long off the print. That's what
you're opening at. To your point, Joel, very well. You're opening into major resistance. Sometimes we do see they open up in a major resistance and then they pop right through it. I mean, you throw a ball against the wall hard enough, you can break through it. They're throwing that ball against the wall, a wall of resistance pretty hard here. It could break through it. And sometimes you get the little pop and drop too. So just be careful. Don't go 800, 805, and then pull the rug out from under you here. So I'm not chasing. You know me. You listen to the show for like 2 weeks. You know I'm not buying something up 6.89%. Great report, though. Company's doing fantastic. You can't argue with the company's performance here. But just kind of, you know, concerning, you know, just that multiple. I haven't been able to wrap myself around when it was trading 40 times. I couldn't wrap myself. Now it's trading 56 times. The multiple just continues to expand. And the earnings are growing, too. And that's why, you know, you really get the stock performance. But, you know, the time to buy this thing was back in 2023, early 2023, when we had talked about, you know, the lower 300s. Even Money Mitch back then, you give him a shout out there. Me and him were talking on the show back then in 2023 and saying, we should be buying this Lilly at $300, $310 when it pulled back to. And then we didn't. And obviously, that's the history. So I've missed the move, at least in my portfolio. But congrats to the longs. Lilly still performing well and very close to all-time highs.
Let's look at the monthly candle real quick before we move on. That is a red monthly candle, right? You haven't had a red candle of this magnitude, boy, oh boy, ever, it looks like, but that's because it's a higher price stock. So last month's monthly settlement was 77.76. You could do your math and see where the old time closing high is. It's probably above that, closer to 792. So a lot of different factors here for Lilly.
All right, I got a question for you guys before we move on from Lilly. So I know you guys, you know, both have more longer term investment accounts in addition to the active trading. I bet a lot of our chat is in that same boat where maybe they're trading a lot, but they also have long term investments. Do you guys look at like dividends and dividend yields when you're looking at your long term investment portfolios?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I've built my portfolio more on kind of like mid, like half bond type stocks, and you know, and even some bonds in there, and half, you know, like stocks. So I'm like kind of, and then the cash mixed in too, depending on how I feel about the market. But yeah, for sure. You know, I'm looking at dividend yields and stuff like that, because this is a core piece. Like, I mean, when the markets go south and we do have bear markets, dividend stocks hold up a lot better. So it's almost just like diversification. But you pick 6-7% up, you know, in some preferred stocks, it's not bad. I mean, long-term market performance, AB, I know we've been spoiled the last couple of years, but it's usually around 8%. So, I mean, if you can pick up 7% in, you know, bonds, it's a lot less risk. And that's why I was arguing, even when you're picking up 5.5-6 in cash, I mean, it's not, it's getting there. If the cash ever went to 7-8%, there's an argument to sell all your stocks and just buy cash, because long-term performance, your cash at 8% would probably be pretty good. So, but we know, you know, there's years that you make 20-30% in the market here. So you always want a little bit of mix. So I'd say the answer to your question is yes. And it all depends on your age as well. Joel's getting like to 90 years old here now.
Yes. So
hopefully
yes.
He's got a lot of dividend stocks in there and a lot more higher income, where when you're young, like UAB, you want mostly growth. You want to get in there and grow that portfolio. Me and Joel are more protecting the wealth now. I'm almost 50 years old. I don't know when the hell that happened. But somebody was saying that the other day, you're going to turn 50 in 2 years. And I was like, what happened? How did that
happen? Where did it all go?
And 25 years just flew by like nothing. Well, I was like, I feel like I'm your age still, AB, but I'm not. I'm approaching 50.
Well,
that's
insane. It matters more how you feel. So I'm glad to hear that. But I you know, people have told me, they're like, as you get older, the time starts going quicker, it feels like. And I've noticed that too, where I was like, wait a second, I was 23. I feel like yesterday, and then now I'm like closer to 30 now that I am 20. You know, 30 is not too far away from me, so not that that's old at all, but it's just like, man, these years are feeling like they're going quicker. But the reason I was asking is because I have like one share of Lilly in my long-term portfolio. It's an expensive stock, right? You know, and I like to, in my long-term portfolio, have full shares, not like the fractional shares that you can get now on like any brokerage. And it's like the dividend's not huge on here. It's like $5 a year, 0.7%. But I'm like, oh, this is cool. They paid me $1 last quarter, you know? And it's like, I'm starting to see some of those dividends trickle in, even on stocks that I think are still going to grow long-term. So I like that, finding stocks that I think will still appreciate, but then, that might pay a slight dividend as well. But let's go to the other side of the weight loss story. And we have a couple stocks this morning that aren't going to help you lose weight. Let's start with McDonald's, which reported this morning. Which this one pays a little bit more of a significant dividend, by the way, just because we were talking about that, 2.5%. But McDonald's reported some mixed earnings this morning. EPS came in at $2.70, missed the $2.72 estimate. Sales came in at $6.17 billion, beat the $6.16 billion estimate just ever so slightly there, but the stock is trading slightly lower. Kind of a boring report, I'd say, and kind of a boring move. Down about $2 this morning. And it seems like the Ozempic, the weight loss drugs, aren't cutting into McDonald's earnings too much, but maybe slowing growth down a little bit. I don't know, but McDonald's well off its highs now.
I hate this stock. And again, the reason is the prices of you go there and I'm like, I cannot believe the price of a Big Mac combo here now. I just can't fathom it. It's just gotten too ridiculous.
How much is it?
It inflated the prices so much. Like, customers have got to be less, but they're inflating the prices so much that sales are staying the same. Like, I don't, the Big Mac, you got like 10, 11 bucks on a combo. Like, what are you where you are? AB, you ever go to McDonald's? Like, what's a Big Mac combo?
I went to McDonald's last night, actually.
Oh, this is awesome. We asked the guy, boots on the ground.
On the way home from the gym, too. So, probably not as smart.
But it was the combo. I know. A little bit of working out, and then I got to get some Big Mac in me. What's a combo? What's a Big Mac combo?
I'm gonna pull my app right now because I should be able to see my.
You know what? I got a question regarding McDonald's, and I have to admit, I had it for the first time in maybe 2 years. A week ago Sunday, I just had a craving after working out real hard. When did they start making cheese mandatory on a quarter pounder?
They wouldn't let you do it.
Cheese has always come on. Cheese always
come on. They used to have a quarter pounder. And then a quarter pounder with cheese.
You're right. They
but
did.
Now, am I wrong? Or maybe
no, yeah, I remember that.
I don't know why they have it. Now I have to say. Cheese. Yeah, now I say, and I usually like cheese on my burgers, but not that quarter pounder. But anyways, perfect setup for this one. I'm glad we brought this stock up. I don't care about, you know, whether Dennis likes it or not. Nice move off the low, 265. You hit a wall at 280 with a double top. What is this retracement going to tell us? Is this going to hold 272, make a nice little bid in this area, then go back up to 280, take out 280? Or is this going to fail here? And then if the long-term investors here, I'm speaking to you, even though it's a daily chart, this thing loses 265. That's been a great support since November. I look out on the downside here for Mickey D's. 265, 272 and a half. Those are your big levels for Mickey D's.
It's too much money. That's where I'm at. And I don't like paying even the PE on this thing. Like last time, I looked, maybe it's come down a bit. Let's go look. Where is the PE on?
Dennis, get the app. Everyone's telling you to get the app.
Forward PE, 22.
Trusty Benzinga Pro. I don't need 22. That. 22 times earnings is trading right now. So it's trading a little bit above a market multiple, but I think there's going to be a boycott eventually if they keep raising prices. So I'm not
all
a
right.
fan.
So, real quick, just to answer your question, Dennis, and I hadn't eaten for a while, and I was coming after the gym, so I ordered a lot. This isn't my normal order, nor is this an endorsement of McDonald's. I see people in the chat saying it's trash. Look, I know it was past 10 p.m. My options were limited. I wanted something quick. I got two McDoubles, one McChicken, so three sandwiches total, a four-piece chicken nuggets with a small fry, and a small chocolate shake. And that was $13.50.
What did you... Wow.
Did you see all that food he just ate? Look at the food he Nice to have that high metabolism, eh? You ordered half the menu. That's actually not bad than $13. Maybe it's just Canada.
Well, no, I think it's the app. Like, you know, I keep saying it, it's like a broken record, but use the app. But all right, McDonald's again.
You literally burned off like 1,000 calories in your workout and then put 2,000 calories into your body right there.
All right. Well, we had to go from the weight loss drugs to McDonald's, another stock not going to help you lose weight this morning, which even worse for you, probably is Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola, you know, similar to McDonald's, where the report isn't really moving the stock that much, but we can mention it real quick. EPS came in at 72 cents, beat the 70 cent estimate. Sales came in at $11.3 billion, beat the $11 billion estimate. Let's see what they did with guidance. Updates outlook, you know, again, not moving too much. Actually, not really moving at all. Down 4 cents this morning on Coca-Cola, ticker KO. So boring move in somewhat of a boring stock, I'd say.
I'm going to blanket all these and just say, why own Coke or Pepsi or McDonald's in an environment where cash is giving you 5.5%? Because you can still get 5.5%, sometimes 6% if you really work in there a little bit. You get a 3% dividend at Coke, a 2% dividend at McDonald's. Pepsi's almost a 3% dividend. We used to go in these stocks. Because, well, this is, you know, where we're getting our yield.
Appreciation.
I've said, and this is why I have quite a bit of cash in my long-term portfolio, it's not the fact that I sold my growth stocks. It's the fact that I sold my Cokes and my Pepsis and, you know, my utility stocks and just moved them to cash. Because why am I fighting in the XLU to pick up, you know, 5% and basically you're just getting dividend 3.24% when I get 5.5% in cash? So I would say cash is a superior vehicle to Coke. You know, Coke 22 times earnings, McDonald's 22, 23 times earnings. I don't see this environment as this is where I want to be. If I'm going to be in stocks, I might as well be in some growthy stuff. You know, and that's why, you know, I was in NASA with NVIDIA and SMCI and AMD and the other stuff. You know, why own Coke here in this environment? If rates come back down to 1%, there's a place for Coke and utilities. But in this environment, I don't see any reason to own the stock.
And you also have to understand the investment environment we're in, right? I mean, and where we were for like the last 5-10 years with quantitative easing, I mean, you know, just you couldn't get anything in the bank. It was, you know, there was no alternative. Nothing. And now it's like
Tina's dead. We killed her, Joel. You know, we killed her. Powell killed Tina. Like he buried her in his backyard and she may never come back again.
I don't think she might even be cremated.
She might even be cremated. So Tina is gone. And Tina, we're saying there is no alternative. No, there is an alternative. Tina is dead now. So with Tina being dead, officially dead, I mean, a lot of these stocks just aren't nearly as attractive. And you could say, oh, yeah, but Coke, you know, it's sitting up near 52-week highs. It's been pretty good. Yeah, if you bought it back in October. But if you bought it back in 2023 when they started raising rates, $64, you're down 2 points, and you only picked up 3% on that dividend when you could have been picking up in cash. So you're still superior. 2022, it hit $67. So here we are 2 years later, and we're down 5 points. And you maybe got a little bit back in the dividend, so maybe you're at scratch.
Much.
But your cash, cash is 5-10. You know, you're up 10% at least on your cash. You know, if you were getting 5 and 5 the 2 years there, maybe you could even argue you're up 11%. So cash has been a superior to investment to staples, utilities. I don't see that changing anytime soon. So I'm not turning in my cash and buying Coke.
I'll just technical level. Wow. Coke spiked. Dennis, were you around for that? Coke went to 63.41, up $1.40 from here. And then that's not even a FINRA print. That was a 7 a.m. print. Holy mackerel, Dennis. The expected move for the month is $2 on that thing. And there you go. Wow. I don't think you're going to see that level. Bulls and bears are going to square off at 62 bid. Yeah, you got some room on the upside. That's right at yesterday's high. 62 is your determining number to see if the rally continues. And you got a pair of lows at 61.36. That's a double bottom from Thursday and Friday. As long as it holds there, I'll call that good support. Good to hold there. If not, you get into that big green candle, I believe, from one day last week. So some good levels and boring old Coca-Cola.
All right, let's keep the earnings train moving real quick. We did. We had.
Some we do NXPI.
Yeah, I was gonna go PayPal.
Let's take it, and then we'll go
PayPal. Guys, getting mad.
I know. Sure. NXPI first. NXP Semiconductors reported earnings. Was this morning or after the close yesterday?
Yes, yesterday after the close. Yesterday.
Okay, yep. That's what I thought. Hold on, let me get that loaded real quick.
So you got the semiconductor stocks that were all lifted. It actually lifted the queues for a little bit too while AB just gets the numbers there. 258, you know, you're up $10 here. That's helping, but it was funny. Last night, NXPI, the queues lift right away on the NXPI report, and then they just slowly started leaking and slowly started leaking and slowly started leaking. And then by the end of the session, we were actually red on the queues, and we've continued the leak to a certain extent. But again, overall market here, you know, it's really the calm before the earnings storm here tonight with Amazon, AMD, SMCI reporting tonight. That's going to be a major cues mover. So NXPI, you know, helping some of the semiconductor stocks here this morning, but overall, not a big market mover. What was the report?
We had EPS came in at $3.24, beat the $3.16 estimate, so beat by about 8 cents there. Sales came in at $3.13 billion, beat the $3.12 billion estimate, so double beat. And the guidance was stronger than expected as well. So, you know, I mean, the bar is set high for semiconductor companies, but if you beat on both EPS and revenue, and then, you know, you issue some strong guidance, usually the market's going to interpret that well. So stock trading up about 4% this morning, $10 on NXP Semiconductors. And to your point, Dennis, a little bit of a smaller company. I mean, not tiny or anything, about $70 billion, about the same size as PayPal. So if we were going just based off market cap, you know, we could have gone with either here, but definitely the hotter story here with the semi trade. But yeah, I mean, like you said, lifting up some tech stocks yesterday, but we have other big semiconductor companies getting set to report as well.
Nice pop in this one, but it's popping into resistance, and we've already leaked $6 off. So I think you got to do some heavy lifting to get back up there. That after hours spike to a good level, 260, 260. Go to your top right chart. There's two highs over 260. And those are 62.91 and 64.26. So I would identify that as potential resistance area. Kind of feels like we're not going to get there, as we haven't seen there since 4 a.m. Coming back on the downside, don't know where to buy this thing unless you're good with short-term charts. Longer term, 248 was the top of yesterday's range. Maybe come back in there. But boy, you know, 264, oh, I'm at 215. Wait, I can sell this thing back near 260. I think is what you might be seeing from investors today.
Yeah, nothing really exciting here. Let's go PayPal, AB.
All right, yep. Let's go to PayPal. And PayPal, I mean, when the market had been, was rebounding, PayPal was one of your biggest dogs, just not doing anything, finally getting a bounce here. EPS came in at $1.40, beats by 18 cents, revenue of 7.7. Wait, hold on, I'm seeing two different numbers. I'm seeing 108 and 140. 108. We're going 108. Adjusted EPS came in at 108, missed the $1.22 estimate, but sales beat at $7.7 billion versus $7.5 billion estimate. Let's see. Earnings beat, strong total payment volume. Total payment volume increased 14% year over year. So, you know, that's PayPal's basically whole business is processing payments. So seeing that tick higher by 14% year over year is a good sign. Active accounts decreased 1%. Not great there, but again, the total payments probably more important for PayPal. Stock trading higher by about $3.30 this morning, up 5%. So again, getting a bounce here, up at about $70 after not really performing that well when the rest of the market was.
Been the worst tech stock, one of the worst tech stocks of the last like 5 years here. You know, there's not a lot of tech stocks. $300 in 2021, maybe it got over ahead of itself. But, you know, you're giving back 7-8 years of gains when you're down here at $70. It's hard to say that this one's been a good performer. The multiples went from 50 times to 14 times here now, actually 13 times earnings. So, I mean, it does trade under a market multiple. So it has turned from a growth stock to a value stock. There is some value here, but again, there's lots of competition in this space here, and that's the problem for PayPal. And, you know, that competition is only going to get more intense. So the stock is hated. Overhead supply is just everywhere on this thing. Every time you think this is PayPal's time to shine, it seems to just leak the gains right back. So I'm definitely not chasing PayPal here. I think, you know, it was a decent report. I think, you know, the stock's trading 13 times. There's some value here. I just don't like the competition that's coming for this space here, and that's why I'm not long.
I think you might have missed your opportunity at 72.80. Now that's $3 away from where we're currently trading. So you do have some profit takers coming in. It's kind of a tough chart on the monthlies because your last monthly high is at 76.28. That's still a long ways away. It's just, I don't know, what would you know, classify? It's, you know, it sold off. It's been sleepy on the monthly. But it just seems like it can't break out. I guess maybe set like an $80 alert on this thing. And I know that's a long ways away, but if this like ever cleared 80, maybe you could get out of this long-term downtrend or consolidation. Square getting a little pop here, nowhere near its high of the recent move. So Square moving a little bit in sympathy. I will alert our traders. There was a trio of highs at the 76.30 area. So if you're looking for a little bit of a breakout in Square, keep an eye on that 76.30.
Yeah, and Square, as far as
I like better. I've always liked Dorsey. He's done some things, you know, obviously sold Twitter at the top, it looks like, but
near the top.
I've always liked the Square stock better than PayPal. It's kind of actually more, it looks more productive here, but I don't, again, the payment space is just a very competitive space. There's so many players here. Apple Pay is in there. You know, obviously, you know, we've got the discount ones like the Affirms, you know, that are up there everywhere. You go to buy something. Like I bought something last night online. I don't often do that. There's like five choices of who you want to pay through right there. Or give your regular MasterCard or Visa number. Like there's so many online alternatives for payment processing here now. It used to just be like when you were buying something online like 10 years ago, you're buying with PayPal. And it's just not the case here anymore. And that's where the multiples went from 50 to 13. It's went from that huge growth to the competition's come in and slammed it back down. So I just don't see that changing.
I only use PayPal if I'm like checking out somewhere online and I don't have my wallet on me to actually type in my credit card number and the buttons there. And I will say it's very easy. Like every time I click to PayPal, my stuff's loaded. It doesn't make me log in. And it just goes.
Happened? Watch out, Dennis. Dennis, watch out. Watch out. Yep, he's out of here. We just had this employment cost index, and I put
I did
in
not
here,
know that was going to move the market like that.
I did. If you would have, I put it in the chat. I go, I don't know if this is going to be a market mover or not. And holy Toledo, it must be hot. And wages are going up. But will people have
such
more money to spend?
Market,
1.2% versus 1% estimated. So came in 2%.
Oh, we're ripping this thing.
The employment
Holy macro.
The employment.
I'm sorry.
Cost,
go ahead, Aaron.
I was just gonna say the employment cost index quarter over quarter again rose 1.2% versus the 1% estimate. So another sign the labor market might be a little bit hot right now.
What that came out of the blue. I had no idea we were going to move
I'm
like
sorry.
That. Number.
I'm sorry. I was doing it.
I'll be back.
I put that in the notes that I wasn't sure if it was going to move. And then I came over from Stocks and Jocks. And I know AB been having some problems there. I didn't prepare. I hope he didn't get picked off on that. We have nothing but sellers here in the S&P 500 index futures. Current low is 22.75. We only have one level here to keep an eye on, at least in the next few minutes. And that will be yesterday's low at 51.1875. That was a low yesterday. I was watching it. I had absolutely nothing there at that area, but it is a daily low, so you gotta expect it. This is not good information, right? Coming out ahead of the Fed meeting tomorrow. Will this change Jerome's stance? Do you have any more details on that report, Aaron?
Just the top line number, 1.2% versus the 1%. The employment cost index measures the change in the hourly labor cost to employers over time. So again, if the employers are paying more money to keep their hourly labor, that probably means that money, some of that, you know, it's going to the workers, which is not good news for inflation. But someone in the chat said death nail or, you know, nail in the coffin for rate cuts this year. I don't think, you know, again, it's 1.2% versus 1%, higher than 0.2%. It's not the number the Fed really cares about the most. While we're talking about it, though, clearly the markets, you know, I think the market was just looking for something after, you know, a few strong days to, you know, maybe pull back a little bit, because our trend before the past week had been, you know, we weren't in a bear market or anything, but we had a bearish trend. And then the past 3 days, the past 5 days have been pretty strong. We basically made back a lot of those gains. And now, you know, might be setting up to pull back a little bit today. But while we're talking about this,
is this the most sensitive market?
Oh my
ever?
Yeah,
I think, when yeah. the hell have we moved off the employment cost index? Like, when did we have like a 20 point S&P drop off the employment cost index?
Never.
I'd like to know the history of that. Ryan Dietrich, if you're listening, find the stats for we've had a 20 point move down in like 1 minute off the employment cost index. We knew that number was coming. I just didn't think it was going to be any market mover at all. This is the most sensitive market to anything. You know, anything we see is just slightly inflationary, and this market's like, sell. And then what happens? They buy the dippers and reemerge, and then they forget about the number 2 days later, and then they sell the next number, and then they buy the dippers and reemerge and forget about the number 2 days later. I mean, the trend is not your friend here with these numbers, but wow, this market's ultra sensitive to everything.
That was a quick move, and I did. It was like 10 points.
So
Whoosh.
Fast.
Yeah. But it looks like we're settling in here. I would just keep an eye on yesterday's low, not only in the S&P, but you're in the stocks that you're in right now. The close is going to be more and more important for your levels too. What else? The dentist, I mean, we see the reaction in the index. Sometimes you see the delayed reaction in the stocks. I know you were chatting with us. Was there a delayed reaction, or were we?
There's always a little bit. There's always a little bit. That's why these numbers are an opportunity. In the pre-market, nothing's instantaneously. The algos aren't hitting like the market's open because So just quick teaching moment before we get our guest here. During the day, during the session, when something like this comes out, the algos are just constantly just arbing. You know, you're just arbing. You know, the stocks versus the index. But when you know you're in the pre-market, you don't have that tight of a market. You know, even on the S&P 500, you know, you got a pretty good market in 50, 80 stocks, but there's like 400 that don't have much of a market at all. So it's a bit of a guessing game. So it's not like you can just go hit this, hit this, hit this, and you know, and you're automatically making money. It's a bit more. So a lot of algorithmic high-frequency traders don't even trade in the pre-market. Lots do, but lots don't as well because it's not as easy to drop. There are the SPY versus the, you know, the futures all day, but the stocks versus the SPY, it's trickier to do in the pre-market. So, you know, that's why you see sometimes, you know, a delayed reaction in the stocks in the pre-market. You won't see that in the regular session. It's instantaneous pricing in the regular session. That's why I kind of like the pre-market. There's a little bit of an edge still for a human. You know, if you're fast or if you're thinking or if you got an idea, there's opportunities there. Where in the regular session, arbitrage-wise, there's no opportunities.
All right, let's go ahead and get to our guest of the day. I see David Prince hanging out backstage from T3 Trading. Always good to catch up with David. Let's go ahead and give him our special welcome and see what David's been trading. All right, David, fun market. We got some volatility. We got some earnings. We got Fed decisions coming this week. Where's with all that going on, where's your mind? Where's your head at?
Sure. Last week, I was a bit more bullish into that pullback as we spoke about. I believe Joel was questioning, you know, how I quantified risk because it was getting pretty ugly down there. And now as we've bounced and people are kind of feeling more comfortable with the trend, I'm actually a bit more cautious because we have a multitude of earnings releases and I've taken a lot of profits. Long story short, I rode NVIDIA. I'm still long. I did get out of my queues. In fact, I got out about $5-6 early. And I remain stock-based, opportunity-based, and less bullish on the market. Example, that Snap number, I thought was pretty solid. I continue to be a buyer in the low 14s off a print that may have changed the path of the stock. If we take a look at it, if you look at a firm, if you look at all these small cappers that have had these big turnarounds, they usually begun with one major event, one big candle, Upstart, a firm, Carvana. And I'm looking at specific ideas like that, and then I'll go to an NVIDIA. But the overall market in front of the Fed, I think he's going to be bearish. I think he's going to – well, I shouldn't say bearish. I think he's going to be hawkish. Yeah. I just don't – like. Look at the number we just got. I get it, by the way. That's not a typical number we react off of. But I want to say one thing in regard to that conversation, which was like a really logical conversation. A year ago, if someone told you 10-year, 5%, and tech stocks were going to outperform, and the market was going to go straight up, and the Qs were going to go in 15 months from 260 to 430, you would say you're an idiot. That's not possible. So then I say, because we've done that and because we don't pull back and because there are all these loud bears screaming that this is insanity, we, of course, react to, I think, numbers we don't normally react to. Because when's the last time we saw the biggest velocity move in rates ever and then the market go up the way it has? So I think we're more sensitive for logical reasons. I just wanted to say that, right? Because
David, right now you said you're getting a little bit more bearish this week compared to last week. Are you holding? I was looking at your Twitter earlier. So were you still holding AMD calls? Are you gonna
That's where directly, like, I don't mind playing a stock pre the print. So I am long AMD calls as of yesterday. Sorry to interrupt you. Did you want to finish that? I apologize.
No. Go ahead.
The way I'm entering trades, whether it be the Qs, whether it be AMD, is AMD opened up yesterday, and I said, you know, I talked about it over the weekend because I don't like to talk about things after the fact. So I said, I'm going to be looking at AMD. Do I think they can beat earnings the way NVIDIA does? No. Do I think they can compete with NVIDIA? No. Like, none of that silliness. Anyone who knows, you know, tech understands it's not a story about whether they can compete with NVIDIA. It's about whether there's enough money to be made in second place. And yes, there clearly is. So I just said, stock off nearly 25, 30%. Broken, she already lowered expectations. I like the risk reward here, because if I'm wrong, I can quantify my loss by just doing options. And if I'm right, it's not priced to do very well. I might make 2-3 times, right?
Low
same
bar.
Thing I did with Google. Sorry, what'd you say?
Low bar.
This, you know, when I was here, I said I liked Google, right? Last week, I said I didn't like Meta. Not because one was better than the other. It's really about the bar. So, and I love to cheat by going a few days in advance if I think I'm playing it right on the chart, right? So I did that with AMD calls, 167.50s. I bought him 290, 292. I'm sure today, well, we just had this pullback.
It's actually up.
Yeah, you know, it's up. I think they'll be, yesterday they were like 420, 430. So I can be up 50%, take some off, play with the house's money, and figure out where to go from there. And that's really where I'm at. I am a trader, not an investor up here, because I don't love the setup. I don't think we can grow enough to warrant a 20, 21 times S&P. And frankly, environment that is just not slowing down. I get it. I think we'll slow down eventually. But anyway, I'm the worst macro guy in the world. But we're not
Do you long-term investing too, David? Do you have a long-term portfolio that you balance? I mean,
my sweet spot is say 2 to 3 weeks, frankly. But like stocks like Immunome, I've owned for years, and specifically the last 7 months from that run from 6 to 30, I still own stock from 6. So it's based on the idea. I would say long term, in terms of beyond a month to 2 months, is maximum 20% of what I do. But it's a solid 20-25%. But I want to backtrack. It was 80% of what I did 6 months ago. Market went up huge. To me, it's as simple as that. I run it fun, but it is not, you know, it's small money. It's not hundreds of millions of dollars. So if the climate to me doesn't offer a lot, I'll sit in 50, 60% cash. And I have no problem telling you, after the moves we've seen in AMD and KLA and NVIDIA, you name it, you guys love the market here for investing. I mean, I'm asking you. Like the next 12.
No, yeah. I've been heavy cash in my portfolio here for a while, and probably wrong. The reason my portfolio is actually long-term portfolio, it's trading account, I'm always just in and out. I'm trading with day trader, I'm short-term stuff. I have two separate accounts. But the long-term investing account, I've been sitting with quite a bit of cash, mainly just because I had in my long-term portfolio, and I at one point in time had 100 stocks in my long-term portfolio. Well, when they started raising rates, you know, like I'm like, why did, and I just had this conversation, why do I own Coca-Cola for a 3% dividend in a 6% environment? Why do I own, you know, so I actually sold a lot of my preferred stocks. I sold all my preferred stocks. I sold all my dividend stuff, and I kind of just moved that to cash. So people are saying, why are you holding 40% cash? Well, I kind of always did. I just always held it with bonds, you know, getting 6% or 7% for a little bit of income as it goes. Well, I just think cash is just as attractive. So that's why I do stick with the growth stocks. And I think in an environment where you were just saying, I think growth stocks can still perform in a rising rate environment. But, you know, if you're looking at the exercise of, you know, other stocks, like we were saying, Coca-Cola is down over the last couple of years. Pepsi is down over the last couple of years. I think the reason is that we buried Tina. You know, Tina is dead. The alternative here is cash.
Tina truly does.
She's dead. She's buried. Like Powell, like we said, she's cremated right now. I don't even think she's coming back.
By the way, now that you've described yourself, I'm nowhere near that type of long-term investor. I maximum go 10, 15 stocks, maybe 20 in these ultra bull markets. And that type of money for me is in VC, right? So like I backed Hydrofarm and Immunome and a lot of these companies pre. That's where a lot of that extra funds go. I'm looking for alpha. Maybe my kids will wish one day I was more conservative, but I definitely don't own Coca-Cola and dividend stocks.
Can't take it with you, David. You can't take it with you. I want to, you know, you talked to Bullish Google last week, and it had a nice pop. And at the end of the day, I was like reviewing some of my charts, and man, what a bad day in Google yesterday. Yeah. And after earnings, I think people just came in and just said, you know, whew, boy, oh boy, time to take some profit taking. What, looking at this chart here, I mean, are you more inclined that you're looking for a gap fill? Of course, the stock is very market dependent, but man, oh man, that I just like your analysis of Goog. I like to go the Goog without the L.
Okay. Goog without the L, though, same concept. I typically trade Google, but Goog without the L, you had an earnings gap, we had a pro gap, right? It broke that bottom, like, I mean, it took all like of a easy. Second, right? And I want to ask you guys, it really stems from the rumor, right? We don't have any quantifiable, like, factual news. It all stems from, oh, my God, iOS might use ChatGPT. And from, I mean, that's how I took it yesterday. And it really seemed to weigh on the stock a great deal. Like, to what degree will they get away from Google? And the way it didn't fight back. So to walk you through, like, I had that home run with the options. But I kept buying the stock on Friday, 170, go to 172. I trimmed some 170, 172. When I saw 167 yesterday, I said, no more patience. This is breaking down. I got to have some discipline. I'm out of the stop, right? I said, I don't need to fight this. It looks like a gap fill on Google. It looks like we are going lower. It looks like we're going to give up the entire earnings gap. So to me, you tell me what you say, but I see 161 and it matches right up with, you know, right below the 8-day. Looks like we're going to fill that gap and remove it unless news changes. But I hated the way it traded yesterday. I thought it was really ugly.
And Microsoft already did give up its earnings gap. You know, Microsoft after hours, remember, David, we hit like 423. We never saw those levels in the regular session. The high was, if I just grab from the charts, 413. And we just filled the earnings gap here all the way down yesterday. And now we're back down here. So,
Dennis, not to be cute, but I don't know if you remember, I also said Microsoft, I think, beats. Like, I'm not trying to be like, I told you guys, but it's about okay. What it expects. Like, Microsoft were good earnings, right? No one could say there was anything. But look at how it's trading. So I think Microsoft actually tells you more than anything else that it's all about the bar that's set, right? Because Microsoft was a really good report. And it's, like you said, trading like crap.
So and 35 times earnings for Microsoft now. I mean, it was 25 last year.
Right. And they're not producing revenue off of AI the way NVIDIA is, right? So you can't even quantify it now. It's about their ownership, chat, GPT, all that stuff. But it's not quantifiable in their revenue or earnings. Like, I always felt comfortable with NVIDIA because I always tell people, I get it. Chart's broken. You're scared, blah, blah, blah. But we actually have earnings underlying this stock, and that's my protection. There is, to some degree, a safe haven in a stock that is a heavy, heavy growth company that trades at a reasonable multiple. I don't mean like buying PayPal on the way down that trades as a value name that's decelerating in growth. I mean, in business. Yeah. Anyway, I don't want to get too long-winded, but
I want to keep you on the AI conversation here because we're going to get SMCI tonight. I'm wondering if you were playing this in any ways because I am watching this SMCI report more than I'm watching Amazon because I think this is going to be the real driver for NVIDIA tonight. Is going to be SMCI. How are you playing SMCI?
I think you're 1,000% correct. I think all you have to do is look back two Fridays ago and witness that it went down 200 points and actually took NVIDIA for a 90-point ride to the downside in the largest drawdown it's had in 2 years. So you're dead on. So tonight's SMCI report is huge. I truthfully have told, like people said, well, what are you going to do? And maybe it's going to split. I think they might actually split the stock. But in terms of having an edge after this complete round trip, I literally have no desire to play it. I'll play after the print. I think bulls have a better setup than they had a month ago because there's been a lot of sellers taken out on that violent crash. I mean, it was a crash. It went down over 40% top to bottom at one point. And at least some guys on the street have lowered estimates because they didn't pre-announce the way most expected. But beyond that, I feel like I don't have an edge where AMD I did. So I took AMD. I'll play it after the print. I'm long NVIDIA, but frankly, I'm long from 100 points lower with the trailer. So I can live if NVIDIA's, you know, up or down 50. But I'm not playing it. You are the home run. I have no problem saying you are the home run player. You told me how long you owned SMCI.
Oh, I don't usually hold that long.
What are you doing with SMCI? Because
I have no position in it. And again, I don't have. I'm right with you here too. I feel like we're the same trader here right now. I have no feel for this one. I'm like, they're gonna beat. I'm pretty sure they're gonna beat. The split thing I never thought about. You know, that would be interesting if
they
got to
split their stock. Actually, to me, that's the only actually thing I feel confident with. It's still illiquid in how it trades, don't you guys think? If you look at like a bigger cap stock now and how they trade, I don't feel like it's a liquid stock.
You're 2 points wide on that thing a lot of times.
Right. So why wouldn't they split? It just seems like that, you know, shareholder friendly, and it actually helps the institutions with liquidity. So to me, it makes a lot of sense.
I think so too, actually. I think that does make sense.
Are earnings good enough to make the split?
David, yesterday, you know, where we saw some tech companies, you know, have a down day, we saw some money flowing into both Tesla and Apple. How are you feeling about Apple here, or what about Tesla? You're going to try to ride that? I mean, closed up, what, 15% yesterday?
So I was not the smart guy. I didn't come in long Tesla. I wish I could tell you I was. What I told everyone, and I don't, you know, profess to be the best chartist, but I can read them. Yesterday, I told Inner Circle, I'm like 184 and 198. There's a 184 pivot. It's like, this one's real simple. And if you get through, there's a whole lot of air till we get up to that 50 day. So I actually missed it, didn't feel like chasing. And literally, as it got to 197, 198, bought a bunch of puts, made, you know, there's nothing to crow about because God knows I wish I was on the long side. I made about $4 or $5 on the pullback in puts, and now I'm flat. I frankly think he at least changed the narrative. I am not bullish Tesla, but it feels like enough to change the narrative. Also, did you guys read Gordon Johnson's report? Did you read what he was saying? I get it. He's always bearish. But he basically said no one knew what they were doing yesterday, and we are reading the news wrong. Did you see that?
We did, actually. We have Gordon Johnson on the show quite a bit here. And Joel, you should reach out to him. Because I don't know. He's basically saying the news is all wrong.
Yeah, he's basically saying
everyone. Like the news, so he's saying it's all wrong.
Adam Jonas is a schmuck, and none of us are trading on the right info. I'm not smart enough to know if he's right.
It's tough. I just, real quick, just going back, I got the SMCI for me. I just looked at the setup here. You had that big decline. You're trying to get halfway back. This 950 area fills a gap halfway back. I'd be looking at that. I'm probably within the expected move there. But if this can't clear the 950 area, boom, boom, maybe we go down and test that 670. Seems a long way away. But, David, before we let you go, I just on the pre-market show, we were talking about your trading style. And Dennis compared you to the legendary Bob Bright. And that helped me clarify your trading strategy a little bit.
You may not know Bob Bright.
I was about to say, your guys are making me feel less intelligent and less sophisticated than ever before because he's talking about Coca-Cola and dividend stocks, and now Bob Wright. Enlighten me. Who's Bob?
Bob Bright was Bright Trading. It's a competitor. You're talking about – so Bright Trading was basically T3 like 20 years ago.
Okay, to be direct with you guys, I don't know the trading world, right? Never worked prop. It's fun. I'm really in venture capital and corporate finance. So it's been a world. So he's like was a big trading firm.
Bob Bright was a huge trader. Like back in the day, Bob was like, Bob was on the floor. So backstory to Bob Bright, on the floor, 70s, 80s, started Bright Trading, day trading prop firm in 1992.
Late 90s.
So he was way ahead of, like, he was the first one to bring floor traders. His idea was, we don't need the floor anymore. We're bringing them all to the office. Computer screen. The floor is going to go away. We don't need the floor anymore. Bob was always ahead of it all. And then he started Bright Trading in 1992. Eventually got up to 40 offices, 500 traders in the firm. Built it up pretty well. And Bob is still trading. Actually, Bob has got to be getting close to 80 years old or more, Joel. But he's still trading out there. And, you know, he gets convicted. And the analysis, how you trade NVIDIA would be how Bob would trade and say, look, you know, I've got fundamentals behind me here. And I can come in and buy this dip right now, knowing, you know, there's fundamentals behind it. And I'm, you know, so basically, you know, so people say, don't catch falling knife. I say it all the time. But, you know, you made that trade. And I was like, the reason David could make that trade was because he had fundamentals behind him.
Yeah. I want to say one last thing, because I believe that you guys might have done the same thing. And I think you'll admit it. I did the same trade 2 days later, and I got even more aggressive at a higher price. When Meta came out and said, we're going to spend a lot of money, and we're going to buy tons of chips, and CapEx is going up, and they took NVIDIA down 20, I said, this is an easier buy than Friday, and got aggressive there yet again as a buy. Did you guys buy it? I'm not testing you, but I'm like, to me, that's, even though the chart looked yet broken again, off of the Meta print, NVIDIA was down 20, pre-market it traded below 780, and I thought, okay, we're going to spend more money on NVIDIA, and now they're taking NVIDIA down 20. If any stock's going to bounce off this report that's scaring the living daylights out of people in Meta, I'm buying NVIDIA. So to me, yeah, fundamentals still do matter.
They do.
All right, David, we got to wrap up here.
Thank you, guys.
Before we let you go, if you want to give a quick, like, 15-second shout-out, what people can get in your room if they scan that QR code on the bottom of the screen.
Sure.
Or go to the description of this YouTube video, and we do have the link in there as well.
I appreciate it, guys, for giving me the time. Long story short, it's more of a swing-type trader's room where we're looking at 2-3 week ideas, fundamental base and technical base. A lot of what I do is about how to run money, how to manage it properly, because I believe finding winners is, people hate when I say this, finding winners is the easy part. How to manage them, to me, is 70% of the game. Good. So that's what awesome. I'm about. Well, but thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, David. Always great to have you on. All right, guys. David Prince from T3 Trading. Like I said, you can hit that QR code on the bottom of the screen if you don't want to go check out his trading room, and also the link in the description of the YouTube video. All right, we got about 5 minutes left.
Buy the dip on Q. Look at that. The buy the dippers re-emerge here once again. You can't stop them. They're like money managers are coming to their desk and saying, ooh, down 15 handles. Give me some stocks. Give me some stocks.
That's well, we were saying it felt like a little bit of an overreaction. But real quick, while we're, you know, we got a few more minutes, we've got some things to preview. So in addition to earnings, we do have a big Fed announcement tomorrow. The FOMC interest rate decision is coming at 2 p.m., followed by a press conference by Powell at 2:30. Now, right now, the CME watch tool, I know people have started talking about rate hikes again. Oh, you know, oh my God, we're going to see rate hikes, not cuts. Well, the CME watch tool is basically saying, oh, wow, this actually went down. This was high. This was like a 3% chance this morning before that number that we got a cut. Now it's half a percent. So 99.5% chance that rates are going to stay the same. 0% chance CME Watch Tool is saying that tomorrow we're going to get a rate hike. Now, if you go out a little further, go to June, yep. Same thing.
Not
no
what
rate
the market
hikes.
Wants to hear.
No rate hikes. No rate hikes. So still not showing
where do
any
we get
rate
a, where do we get a probability of a rate cut?
At a rate cut, so if we go out to July, we're looking at about 0.25% chance that we cut by 0.25%. So, yeah. You know, we're looking at about a 23% chance, even a slight chance that we've cut by 50 basis points by that point. But that's going out to July. Looking at tomorrow, May 1st, 2024, May Day, we're looking at, you know,
how is there a 0.5% chance of cutting tomorrow? How is there even a chance at all? Like, is this like, is this Dumb and Dumber style? Like, you're telling me there's a chance? Is that what this is?
Some Lloyd Christmas. Yeah, it might be some Lloyd Christmas thinking. But we can go back to here, let me pull that down in case something pops up weird on the Twitter. But let me pull that earnings calendar back up, because we do have AMD and Amazon reporting tonight, and SMCI. Let's start with SMCI, Dennis, because I know this one has the potential to move a lot of tech stocks that we're looking at, whether that be NVIDIA or other chip names. So I know we've mentioned it with David, but what are your thoughts going into SMCI's report tonight?
I'm really torn on this one, and I have no position, and I don't intend to take a position in SMCI. I thought about being long into the report here. It's such a hard stock to even have in your trading account, though, because it's so wild. But, you know, it would have worked, obviously. We did see the run-up into the report, the classic run-up. So if you're buying the stock 3 days ago at 720 or 750, we got the run up ahead of the report. So it does run into the report. I'm very curious. The numbers are going to be, I never thought about the split scenario. And I think if the numbers aren't just blowing it away, I do think that, you know, maybe they do announce a split just to try to get the stock price higher.
Did they buy
here.
Back any stock either? I mean, I know it's
I don't think they announced a buyback, did they?
Yeah,
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
I
mean, the old beat, raised guidance, you know, stock split, buyback, you know, that could get it back. I mean, that 950 area.
No,
really
I don't
like
think they're going to do that. I don't think they're going to do a buyback here. I think they could do the split, though. It's not.
What
kind of
do you have the expected move? I mean, you know, when in doubt, you know, look at the, you know, look at the straddle for the expected move. It's got to be what? I mean, $80, maybe $90, even more. Do you have that up, Dennis, or not?
Yeah, I'll go grab it here right now. Just give me a second. I got to open my options. Yeah, again, okay. Options are not open at this time of day, so all we can do is take the closing price.
Go the 890s. It looks like we close pretty close.
Okay, we're
to
going
eight.
To the, grab the expected move. The chat's going to beat me to it because I hadn't looked it up. 890s. Oh, my God.
120?
Yeah, you're in the ballpark. 128, it looks like. $128, the expected move. Maybe I should be buying that stock and selling some calls against her. So maybe just flat out, I don't know, 128 points. I guess it can move that, but wow, it's a huge expected move. Wow. I didn't think it'd be that much. That's a huge expected move.
Yeah. And you know what? That 60 points on the upside takes it pretty close to that 950 area. And then 60 points on the downside. Well, nothing there. I mean, wow. 800, your 2 day low in this stock is 788.05. That's your 2 day low in SMCI.
All right, real quick, we'll move on from SMCI just because we're running out of time here, but we do have Amazon and AMD reporting tonight as well. Amazon got a nice bounce last week off the heels of Google's strong report. I guess just the cloud computing. Of course, AWS has been the big driver for Amazon the past decade or so. But I mean, Amazon, I feel like now the bar is a little bit higher going into the report, but trading up this morning by about 0.5%.
Pretty steady Eddie with this one. Any thoughts on this one, Dennis? I will say there is a,
just hang on,
a double
my system
top
just throws
one.
Up. I don't know. These Intel processors. Throw these Intel processors in the garbage. I'm never buying an Intel processor again.
We need some NVIDIA chips in your computer.
Well, I think there is one still. Isn't
the
NVIDIA
graphics,
somewhere?
Yeah. They're different, yeah.
Yeah, so anyways, 180. So if we just grab the 180s on the expected move here, 7, carry the 2. It looks like 8, 6. My math, 14. Still over $14, $14.50. It looks like.
Wow.
So that's a big expected move, too. Man, these option premiums are high right now. That's a pretty big expected move here for Amazon. I've got this stock. Maybe I should be writing some options into this thing, but just taking advantage of that expected move. It worked well owning the stock ahead of the report here. Had a nice pop yesterday, popping overnight here again. So again, that strategy of just being long stocks ahead of reports, not saying take them through the reports, but just being long the day or two ahead of the report, sometimes 3 days ahead, seems to continue to work. This one would have paid the bills too.
All right. Well, we talked about SMCI, so that covers our chip talk for the day. We didn't get a chance to get to AMD, but Joel, who do we have coming on with us tomorrow on a big earnings day, on a big Fed day?
You know what? I'm looking forward to Tommy Lackey. He's been pretty good on this market over the last couple of years, and he'll mix in some of his technical and fundamental analysis. So Tommy Lackey will be joining us at 8:35.
Awesome. Been a while since we had Tommy Lackey on the show, and he makes some fantastic calls here too, and he does a little bit different analysis style. We love Tommy. He's been coming on the show.
Love that accent too.
7-8 years he's been coming on this show. We've known Tommy a very long time.
I love
Anne-Marie, who rocks herself as a fan, saying that Tommy rocks in the chat. So we will see.
Anne-Marie will rocks too.
Yeah, we got to get Anne-Marie back on soon as well.
Yeah. All right. She always calms me down. Like, I'm too hyper all the time. Then Anne-Marie, I talk to her, and she calms me down. Yeah, Anne-Marie's awesome.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for tuning in today again. What are our final thoughts heading in? How are we? Did the full dip get bought from that employment number?
Leaking again. They're nervous. Nervous Nelly's out here.
Dennis, do you still got that hate on for McDonald's? You see it now?
Oh my gosh, I just got to start listening to myself more.
Okay.
Who brought that thing up to 272 on the earnings miss? McDonald's, these $10 burgers at McDonald's. I'd rather go have a nice sit-down meal. That's what I'm saying. I go to McDonald's with the kids. I spend like $45 Canadian to go there. I may as well just go have a nice sit-down meal and pay the same amount of price. It's fast, but it's not good. Yeah, no, so sorry. I hate really McDonald's. Hate
I don't
it.
Feel well. I don't hate feel well. I don't feel well this morning.
Supersize me. Aaron's supersized right now.
Could you show that thing again? That receipt again?
We're going to make fun of you one more time before we go.
Yeah, can you do that
what
one more time?
What did he eat last night? Where does he
can
put it?
Can you show that again? Hopefully your mom's not watching.
Two McDoubles, McChickens, Chicken I'm McNuggets. Milkshakes.
Real quick.
The milkshake. Just to wash things
You're
down.
Never going
to
live to Joel's age if you keep eating like that, buddy.
I know. Wait, you can't read it right now.
Could you read it again just one more time?
Just read it. It's so funny.
Yeah, it's a little blurry.
Two McDoubles, one McChicken, a four-piece chicken nugget, small fry, small chocolate shake.
He got the small fry.
He didn't supersize me, so he'll
real,
be okay.
Wait, real quick before we wrap.
Hey, somebody call, just have a doctor on call there just in case.
Yes, I got
Joel,
it.
Do you know a good doctor?
We got a lot. Dennis, someone was asking in the chat, is your global life trade done?
It's trading down here. I sold half of it. I didn't see the headline here today. And no, I'm still in half of it. I put in the long-term portfolio. It went up. I bought it at 56 and 61. I sold half of it at 79. And now maybe there's is there another short sell report here? What's happening here? authorized share repurchase.
Someone said the lawyers are circling, but I mean, like, we knew there was going to be, you know, some lawyers involved and investigations.
I may rebuy my stock. I just sold. I don't know. I have to research it. It's too on the fly. I didn't even know it was down, to be honest with you. So I'm just looking at it now. It's down 8. They're hitting it hard. So obviously some headline here.
Thank you, as always, for tuning in. We will be back 8 a.m. tomorrow. Tommy Lackey, and again, a big day. We got the Fed decision at 2 p.m. We'll be previewing that, as well as some more earnings to break down. Hope everyone has a good day.
Oh, today. It's another short seller ganging up on it. Who's Viceroy Research?
Fuzzy Gorilla this time?
No, listen, there's another short seller here, so they're ganging up on it. Viceroy Research. I don't know Viceroy Research. They have 43,000 followers on Twitter. Viceroy is short Global Life following an extensive investigation of the company and its major subsidiary. Hat tip to Fuzzy Panda, who produced a solid report. So you have another short seller ganging up on Globe Life. So these guys are teaming up here now to get this thing down.
Dennis,
here.
Dennis, no.
That's always fun.
No trading for you today. You need to pull out the old, keyboard and start typing up a long report to go fight these guys.
Should I go along? They'll probably put a hit on me. I better not.
Just have ChatGPT. Just say, hey, I like this stock. Write me a 10-page report. Throw in some, maybe throw in some insults to Fuzzy Panda in there and put it out there. See what happens.
So we literally get another short seller gang up. I've never seen that before. Two of these guys ganging up on it. So, I may, if it gets down low enough, I may rebuy the stock I just sold.
All right, guys. Well, we're going over here.
Viceroy, wasn't that a cigarette going back a long time ago? A really strong cigarette, Viceroy?
Someone said that. Yeah.
Yeah, they already did. Okay, get us out of here, AB.
All right, we'll be back tomorrow, 8 a.m. Hope you guys stay green today. See you guys then.